Harmony Baptist Church, providing a message of hope to the hopeless.
Job chapter 42 this morning. If you were not in the 10 o'clock service today, Brother Mark here gave his testimony. Brother Bobby and Brother Mark was talking this morning. For those of you here, he went through major heart surgery, and then his grandson that got burned, and then his wife went through cancer. And the song they sang this morning, I jotted down the title of it: "Keep Going On When Everything Goes Wrong." Is that right? Amen. Keep going on when everything goes wrong. And I told him that that was what I was preaching on this morning. My title, what I had given it, Brother Bobby, was "Life Goes On," but I kind of like his, so I'm going to borrow that this morning. Keep going on when everything goes wrong. Job chapter 42, let's read a few verses together, beginning in verse number 10. The Bible said, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all of his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintance before, and did eat bread with him in his house, and they bemoaned him, comforted him over all that the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money, and every one an earring of gold. So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she-asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. He called the name of the first Jemiah, the name of the second Keza, the name of the third Kerenhappuch. And in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. Their father gave them inheritance among the brethren." Verse 16. "After this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons and his son's sons, even 4 generations. So Job died, being old and full of days." Go back to verse 16. I'm not trying to change the Word of God by no means, but in verse 16 we could read this the same way: "And after this Job lived." That's what I want you to see this morning. After this, Job lived 140 years. When we think of Job, we think of all the trials that came into his life. Surely, he did have his part. In fact, Job 14:1 says, "Man that is born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble." Job had his share. If you read about Job's life, and I'm sure most of you have, Job, as I mentioned Friday night, we had our Acre Baptist Fellowship meeting in Greensboro, and I preached in out of Job, not this message, but I mentioned Friday night about Job and how that Job was not a rich man. He was the richest man in the East. He was not just had a lot of money. He had a multitude of money. And lost it all, lost all of his wealth, lost his health. In fact, he lost his 10 children. They were all killed at one time. And his wife looked at him one day, Brother Danny, and said, "You are a mess from the crown of your head to the sole of your feet. Why don't you curse God and die?" Job said, "You're a foolish woman. God has been good to us. Can somebody help me out?" Amen. Through everything, through all the trials, through all the dangers, toils, and snares, God has been good. I want you to focus, though, this morning at the latter end of Job's life. And I want you to look this morning, and for I may not get everybody back next week. Next week is Father's Day, and so I got a double whammy today. I'm going to preach a little Father's Day message a little bit, and next week we'll preach some more. But this, for those of you that are our fathers, you give a listen today. Here we find this man Job, and I want you to focus on him as an example of a godly man, a godly father, a godly grandfather, and a godly great-grandfather. We find something here. Let's go back. We have to go back to chapter 1 of the book of Job to get just the background. So turn there if you would please, and I'll be brief this morning. I want you to see about this man. And after this, Job lived. After all this that he'd been through, can I say in the beginning of this, whatever you may be going through, life continues to go on. Somebody help me out. Do not quit living. Just because you may undergo cancer treatments, don't stop living. You may be undergoing major surgery. Don't stop living. You may undergo family disruption. You may undergo marriage conflicts, divorce. You may undergo sickness. And yet, my friend, life goes on. Don't stop living. Don't give up. Don't throw the towel in. God's got a reason. If he didn't have a reason for you being here, you'd be in his presence today. The very fact that blood is coursing through your body and you're breathing air is evidence enough God has a plan and a purpose for you being here. And when that is finished, when that is over, when you have done all that you're supposed to do, then he'll take you home. He didn't take you home, Brother Mark, because your job hadn't been finished. Your work had not been finished. You had a widowmaker. You had a major blockage, 100% blockage. And yet, for many people, they would have died instantly. But yet, God left him here. Sister, you're here today because God's not finished with you. All the medical things, all the sickness you've been through, God's not finished with you. God still has a purpose. Can somebody help me this morning and say, yes, God has a purpose in me being here. Notice something about this man, Job. I'm going to give you some notice in chapter number 1. First of all, I find about Job that here was a man that had a relationship with God. Here I find Job, listen to me now, Job did not have a Bible to read. If you know and you study your Word of God, you'll know that Job is the oldest book in the Bible. You say, I thought Genesis was. Because in the beginning, God. Moses wrote Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. And those are the Pentateuch. The first five books were written by Moses. But the oldest book in the Bible is the book of Job. Somebody help me out. Say amen. In fact, I mentioned the other night, some of you may have been to the Creation Museum out in Kentucky, Ken Ham, and the Ark exhibit. I believe this, and Job describes a brontosaurus. He talks about Leviathan. I believe Job and dinosaurs lived at the same time. Yeah. Job's the oldest book in the Bible. But here Job, everything that Job went through, Job did not have a Bible to rely upon. You do. Job did not have a church to attend. Job did not have good singing that he could be uplifted with. Job did not have radio programs that he could listen to. Job did not have television programs. He didn't have brethren. He did have some friends, but they turned against him. Y'all ever been there? But what Job did have was a relationship with God. My friend, I want to tell you something here, is that the most important thing as a man sitting here this morning, it's not the kind of job you've got or what kind of position you have or what kind of status you hold in your community. The most important thing you could ever show your children, your grandchildren, those nephews and nieces is that you are a man of God and you have a relationship with the Lord God Almighty. Job had a relationship with God. How do I know that? Because the Bible said that the devil came to the Lord, and look what the Bible said in chapter 1, verse 6, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also And the Lord said unto Satan, whence cometh thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth and from walking up and down in it. And there was this conversation going on. And verse 8, he says, the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job? There is none like him in all the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil. How do I know that he had a relationship with God? Because the devil had put a bullseye on his back and he was a target. Friend, can I tell you something? If you're doing anything for God, you are a target of the devil. Keep in mind, look in chapter 1. Job is operating down here on this earth. Job is operating with his relationship with the Lord. But in chapter number 1, the conversation between God and Satan occurs in the heavenlies. Job knows nothing about that conversation. He doesn't know that all of a sudden that his world's going to get turned upside down. Job has no knowledge of this conversation between God and Satan. All Job knows, one morning he gets up and his world is turned topsy-turvy upside down. Everything he had worked for was gone. Everything he had strived for was gone. Every camel, sheep, oxen was gone. Think about that for a minute. What would be the normal reaction? The normal reaction for us today, Brother Bobby, would be, God, don't you love me? What happened? God, you just took everything from my life. God, everything I've worked for, I guess you just don't love me. And yet, through all of that, Job never sinned with his lips. Dads, men, greatest thing you could ever accomplish on this side of eternity is to give your children, your grandchildren, is a testimony that you love God, that you serve God, you are faithful to God through the good times and the bad times, through the ups and the downs, when there was money, when there was no money, when there was groceries and there was no groceries, in the sickness, in the hospital. The best thing you could ever do is show your kids that you love God. Some kids were playing one day. Some little boys were playing one day. They were trying to impress one another, and one of them looked around and he said, I want you to know my daddy knows the mayor of the town. Another little boy said, that's nothing. My daddy knows the governor. Another little boy was sitting there, and all of a sudden he couldn't think of much. He said, well, I want to tell you something. That's nothing. My daddy knows God. I'd rather for my daddy to have known God than to be the most famous person there was in this world. I had rather that men of God stand up and be accounted for than have the best paying job in all the United States, have the most money laid up in the bank somewhere. If your kids know that you love Jesus and that you serve the Lord, you're faithful to church, and that's the best testimony you could ever give them. Number 2, what about this man Job? He was a dad. He was concerned about the spiritual well-being of his children. The Bible tells me, look in chapter 1, verse 5. And it was so that the days of their feasting were gone about that Job sent and sanctified and rose up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of them all. And Job said, it may be that my sons have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continually. Job got up, Brother Bobby, and he offered burnt offerings for his children. A burnt offering is an offering for sin. And notice what he says in verse 5, and he did this every now and then. Huh? Come on, y'all with me, all right? Verse 5, and he did this how often? Say it with me, church, how often?
Continually.
Why? Because he was concerned that his children grow up right. Not just when they messed up, not just when they got in trouble, but I find that Job was a man that was concerned about the spiritual well-being of his children. Look back in chapter 42, verse 10. I know that Job was a praying man. the Bible said in chapter 42, verse 10, and the Lord turned things about when Job prayed for his friends. Job was a praying man. Thank God, as Brother Danny and I were talking a while ago, prayer not only just changes things, prayer changes people. Amen. One of the first times that I talked to this man, I remember Brother Bobby, some years ago, we were going through some dark valleys, going through some very rough times. And he called me, and I was sitting, I'd left the hospital. I was sitting in Texas Roadhouse getting a meal by myself. And he called. And I really didn't know Danny like I do now. But as we were talking on the phone, I was sharing with him some of the valleys that I was walking through. And this man said, I'll tell my mom. His mom is 94 and a half. She's in assisted living right now. But at that time, he said, I'll have my mom pray for you and your family. His mom would walk the halls, walk the floors, and pray for their children. Amen. What a great testimony. Men, can I tell you something? We need to be some praying men. Come on, help me, guys. We need to be some men that's concerned about praying for our children. We ought to be on the altar when there's one that's wayward, when one there's a sick, when one there is their home is on the rocks or whatever. We need to be praying for our children. Why was he so concerned about his kids? Because you and I, Brother Danny, we know we got more days behind us than we have in front of us. Can y'all help me out? Brother Bobby, don't know how old you are, but I would say this, that me and you, we probably have more days behind us than we have in front of us. And my friend, Brother Mark, listen, we need to be busy about seeking the hand of God, because listen, one of these days, it's going to be our last. One of these days, we're going to sing for the last time. One of these days, I'll preach my last message. I'll pray my last prayer. But I want the work of God to go on. I want my children to grow up. I want my grandkids to grow up knowing one thing, that they had a granddaddy that loved Jesus, that served the Lord, that preached the old time way, that stood for the old faith. Honey, what more? What more could you ask for? Number three, he was a man, look in chapter 1, verse 8. He was known, look in verse 8 here quickly. He was known, Brother Bobby, to be a perfect and an upright man. Now, wait a minute, before you go too much further. Ladies, you said, that leaves my husband out right there, that word perfect. That's not what he means as far as what you think is completion. Not perfect in the sense of ever making a mistake, but what it means, look in verse 1, chapter 1, verse 8. What it means, he was a perfect man. It means moral excellence. It means to instruct in morals. Look what he said. He was an upright man. That means he was honest in his dealings. Not deviating from moral principles is what the definition means. Now, when you put those two words together, this is what it means. He means that he instructed his children to do what was right. Brother Bobby, he taught his children morals. Somebody help me out, yonder. Come on. Unless this is just getting all over your feet. Hey, listen. Aren't you glad that you had... Listen, somebody today needs to be teaching some morals in our community, in our churches, because they're not doing them in our schools. Right is right and wrong is wrong. Honey, I got news for you. We as men of God need to be teaching our young people, our nephews, our nieces, our kids, that there is a way to treat a woman, and it's not through your hand, it's not through verbal abuse, it's not through blasphemy. Say amen. Amen. He taught his children how to be a man. He taught his girls how to be a lady. I still believe this. Brother Tommy, I believe there is a day that we need to teach, yes sir, and no, sir. Yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. Honey, when I grew up, that's the way it was in my home. My daddy taught us. You say yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am. It ain't, huh, no, yeah. We need to have some manners today. Somebody help me out. And Job was a man that taught that. He was a man, look in chapter 2, verse 9. Chapter 2, verse 9. He was a man of moral integrity. Look in chapter 2, verse 9. He said, then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Do you retain your integrity? Man, let me tell you something. Your children, your kids know what you are at church, out of church, at the work, when you're at the ball game. Come on, somebody help me now. At the ball game, they know exactly who you are. And Job was that kind of a man. Fourth of all, look in chapter 1, verse 8, quickly. He was a man, the Bible said, that eschewed evil. What does that mean? To flee, to run, to avoid. In other words, when there was evil, he ran from it. The Bible said, 1 Thessalonians 5:22, to abstain from all the appearance of evil. It has to do with his testimony. In 2019, Brother Bobby, the year we living in, people ask me all the time, what's wrong with this? What's wrong with that? It's not a matter of what's wrong with it. It's a matter of what's right with it. Parents, whatever we tend to excuse in moderation, children will practice in excess. One night, a man and his wife had laid down and gone to sleep. True story, they tell me, and a knock came on the door. As they went to the door, a highway patrolman stood at the door. He asked them, were you Mr. and Mrs. So-and-so? They acknowledged they were. He said, I have some bad news to tell you tonight. Your son was tragically killed in an automobile accident. And of course, they went all to pieces. They began to cry. And then the patrolman said, I hate to tell you too, but alcohol was involved. The man got irate. The man got so upset. He said, I will kill the man that sold my son liquor. In order to steady his nerves, they said he went to his liquor cabinet himself, opened the door. And when he opened the door, there was a note attached. And it said, Dad, I hope you don't mind. We borrowed a few for tonight. See you later, son. Friend, can I tell you something? Whatever we excuse in moderation, our children will practice in excess. If we say it's okay for this, they're going to say it's okay for that. My friend, it's time as men of God. Listen to me, guys. I hope as men of God that arise up, take our rightful place and be able to be accounted and say, by the good grace of God, I want to do right between my family. Number five, he was a dad that trusted God even in disappointing times. Look in chapter 1, verse 21. Job said this, naked came out of my mother's womb, and naked I shall return thither. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Brother Bobby, I could not fathom. Job had 10 children. I could not fathom what it would be like to have to bury all 10 children at one time. I had a Facebook memory pop up this morning. You know how Facebook does. Here, Frank, we care about you. 5 years ago, here was, and it was a picture. It was a picture of a sport fishing boat and the sun coming up over the horizon. And on board my boat was me and my boy. And it wasn't 5 years ago necessarily on Sunday. I'm just saying 5 years ago. We were going out of Beaufort Inn and the sun was coming up. Beautiful. I took a picture of it. And Brother Bobby, I had a hard time. It's still pretty fresh. And I could only imagine what Job. I could not fathom having to have a funeral for all 10 children. 10 caskets lined across the front. 10 bodies. 10 graves. I could not imagine what he went through. But yet, Job could say, the Lord gave, and the Lord's taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. You're going to have some disappointing times. Life is not easy. I'm trying to teach my granddaughter this, Tommy. She's using this phrase, that's not fair. That's not fair. I say, Brother Mark, I tried to tell her this. I said, fair is something that comes one time a year and you pay money to go and ride the rides. That's fair. Life is not fair. There will be disappointing times. I wish I could paint a rosy picture for you, but my friend, the truth of the matter is that your family, your children, need to see that you are the same today and tomorrow, that through the ups and downs and disappointing times, through the heartaches, that one thing doesn't change: my relationship with the Lord. Amen. Your children need to see that God has brought you to this God brought you to that trial. God brought you through that trial. With your wife, God brought you to that. God brought you through that trial. And you know why, Brother Mark? So that you could stand up there and that you could sing and you could give your testimony. And there may be somebody sitting out yonder going through cancer. Somebody just diagnosed. Some lady sitting back there, they just found a lump in her breast. Somebody else is going through brain surgery or something. And you say, I don't know if I can handle it. And you can say, the same God that brought me to it is the same God with brain me through it. Amen. Number six, he was a man that knew he had limited time on this earth. Go back to Job. Anybody getting any help, say amen. Oh, yeah. Chapter 7, verse 6, Job said this: my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. I never worked in a mill. My daddy did for a while. My granddaddy did. Edna Cotton Mill over in Reedsville. A lot of my family worked in a cotton mill. Some of y'all, how many of y'all have worked in a mill before? Y'all know what I'm, all right. Y'all can relate to this better than I can. Brother Bobby, they tell me that when a shuttle is moving, that it's so fast many times that all it is a blur. It's moving so fast, weaving that cloth together. Job said, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle. In Job 7:7, he said, my days are like the wind. In chapter 10, verses 8 and 9, he said, thy hands have made me, I am like clay, I will return to the dust. Job knew that he wasn't going to live here forever. His days were numbered. He's got more days behind him, he said, than I got in front of me. Job knew he wasn't going to live here forever. Guys, can I tell you something? You think you're invincible. I'd love to stand on that. I don't think I can. Amen. Some of you think you're invincible. But you just let a little something happen. All of a sudden you will see just how frail these bodies really are. You think you're as strong as an ox? Honey, I got news for you. You not. You ought to thank God. Listen, we all think we are invincible, but one day, as the Bible said, Brother Bobby, we're going to return to the dust of this ground. We're going to come back to what we were made out of. We're going to come back to this dust of the ground. And honey, I got news for you. It don't matter how much money you got in the bank. Don't matter what kind of house you live in. The only thing that's going to matter, don't matter if you're rich or black or white or poor. It don't matter. It don't matter if you're popular. One thing that does matter, that you know Jesus. Job could say this, Job 19, verse 25, for I know. Somebody said this. Y'all, you can't know that. Brother Danny, I want to tell you something. There's a lot of things I don't know. But one thing I do know, when I breathe my last breath, it'll be the first one I breathe in heaven. Amen. Some people say, you can't know you're going to heaven. Bible said, these things I've written unto you, believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. And Job said this, listen to me, and I'm one more thing and I'm done. He said, I know my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day on the earth, and though after the skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh I shall see God. last of all, and I'm done. Look in chapter 42, verse 17. Verse 16, after this, Job lived 140 years. Full of life, in verse 17. Some men have empty lives. I love to fish. Lord willing, I love to shoot guns. Amen. Any other rednecks in here? Say amen. Brother Eddie come up to me this morning. Told me they planted millet. And what millet and what else? Milo, yeah. He says it's already come. Now, any of y'all in here know what millet and milo is for? Doves! Praise God. I may not be able to hit them, but I sure like to smell the gunpowder. Tell you a quick story. They took me hunting last year. I was having a big old time. I was having a ball out there. I couldn't help it if I was out shooting them. Amen. So about 10 o'clock, they said, we're going to the house. I said, why? We're going to the house. You done shooting them all out of the sky. We're going to the house. I like to hunt. I like to fish. That's about all. I don't play golf. But a lot of men have empty lives. I know you. We were talking a while ago. You like model airplanes, big. I mean, motorized. I mean, he's got an airport at his house. Amen. It's okay. But a lot of men have empty lives. I read about. I'm going to share this with you. I've shared it before, but some of you hadn't heard it. A little 5-year-old boy. One day his daddy walked through the door to his house, was waiting at the door. The little boy looked at his daddy and he said, Daddy, can I ask you a question? Daddy had had a hard day at work trying to make money, trying to make a living. And daddy looked at him and said, sure, son, what is it? He said, Daddy, how much do you make an hour? Dad said, that's none of your business. Why do you ask such a thing? The man said angrily. Oh, I just wanted to know. Please tell me, how much do you make an hour? Well, if you must know, I make $50 an hour. Oh, Daddy, the little boy said. Daddy, may I please borrow $25? The father got mad. If the only reason you ask so that you can borrow some money to buy some silly toy or some other nonsense, then you march yourself straight up to your room, go to bed. Think about that, how being so selfish. I don't work hard every day for such childish frivolities. The little boy quietly went to his room, shut the door. The man sat down and started to even get angry about the little boy's questions. How dare he ask how much money that I make? About an hour or so, the man had calmed down and he started to think. Maybe there was something he really wanted to buy. And so he went upstairs. Open the little boy's room. Son, are you asleep? No, Daddy, I'm awake. Well, I've been thinking. Maybe I was too hard on you a while ago. It's been a long day, and I took out my aggravation on you. Here's the $25 you asked for. The little boy sat up smiling. Oh, thank you, Daddy, thank you, he yelled. Reaching under his pillow, he pulled out some crumpled up bills. The man saw the boy had already had some money. He started to get angry again. The little boy slowly counted out his money and then looked up at his daddy. The man said, why do you want more money if you've already got some? The father grumbled. Because I didn't have enough. But now I've got enough. Daddy, I've got $50. Can I buy 1 hour of your time? Daddy, would you spend 1 hour with me? Would you pay with me? The father was crushed. Put his arms around his little son and begged him for forgiveness. Chapter 42, verse 16. And after this, Job lived
after all the sorrow, after all the pain, after all the loss, after being bankrupt, after his friends turned against him, he lived. He lived. He didn't stop living. Life went on. And the Bible said, verse 17, he had a full life. What gave him a full life? Go back to verse 12 quickly. And the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than the beginning, for he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camel, 1,000 yoke of oxen, 1,000 she-asses. He had a lot of material stuff, but here's the best part. Verse 13, he had 7 sons, 3 daughters. He had 10 in heaven, and then God gave him 10 more. Have you ever wondered, Danny, did, you know, Job and Mrs. Job, they had this argument, you know, did you ever wonder, Tommy, if they ever got things right? Well, here's evidence. I mean, they had 10 more kids. They had to have kind of made up, right? Not only did he have sons and daughters, but look at verse 16. And he had, and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. I can see old Job as he's getting older, and he's, I don't know if they had Father's Day back then or not, but let's say they did. And here's the line lined up. Job's sitting there, and his sons and his daughters come in, and then they bring their children in, and then the great-grandchildren come in. And Job's sitting there, and he takes one of them little grandyoungins. You know, Brother Danny, if I knew grandkids were so grand, I'd have had them first before I'd ever had kids. Job's sitting there, and they come up, and they sit on his knee. Poppy Job, tell us about all the stuff that you went through. Tell us about when you were so sick, and God healed you. Grandpa Job, tell us about the day that the house fell in on our uncles. And Job could tell them the stories. He had a full life. This week, Ava Lee's school had Daddy Donut Day. I went just for the donuts. And they had everybody, all these dads, and they wanted us to sit in these little bitty chairs. I mean, you know, like, I don't know if I get down, I don't know if I can get back up. We'll try. So I sit down at Ava Lee's beside her desk. She was so happy. And she made me a card. I meant to bring it this morning. I was going to brag. But she drew my picture, Bobby. Yeah. She even put hair on the side. Put a tie on me. She said, I love my poppy. And her teacher was coming around. I said, did all the kids make one for their granddad? She said, no, you were the only one. She really loves you. I love my puppy because he helps me. He's kind. He dresses nice. But Bobby, if you offered me $1 million, I would not for that card. You know why, Brother Mark? Because I'm full. And here's the last part. Look at verse 17. I'm done. Guys, y'all get ready to sing something. And the Bible said, and Job died, being full of years. Notice what he said. Job died being old and full of days. I can almost imagine when Job breathed that last breath and he was carried into paradise. When he walked into paradise, guess who was there? Daddy, it's so good to see you. Last time I saw you is when the house fell on me. But Daddy, I'm so good to see you. So good to see you. And Job would say, son, it sure is good to see you. But guess what? There's a whole bunch more coming. You got some brothers and sisters you don't know about. You got some other, you got some nephews and nieces that you hadn't met yet. But one day you will. Can I ask you something? I hadn't planned on saying this, Brother Mark. On the darkest day in my life so far, it's March the 29th, my son went to be with the Lord. 4 weeks, 4 days to that day, I led him to Christ in the hospital. But on the darkest day of my life, Brother Bobby, Sister Pat and Ross back here, they were watching the girls. We went with Rebecca down to the house to tell Ava Lee that John John had gone to be with Jesus. And my wife told her on the way out, of course there was some crying on the way out, that we'll see him again. Maybe Jesus will come and we all go up together. And as we got in the car and buckled her up in her little seat, she said, but Nana, I won't go because I don't have Jesus in my heart. I come around to the car and I knelt down, Tommy. I said, Ava Lee, do you know who Jesus is? Yeah, he's the Son of God. You know what he did? He died on the cross for our sins. Would you like to ask Jesus to come in your heart? And there on the darkest day, I led my granddaughter to Christ. So guess what? One of these days, Brother Danny, when I enter into heaven, there'll be the Son of God. There's going to be my son. There's going to be my daddy, my mama, my sister, my grandparents, other people, other loved ones. But most of all, thank God, my family will be there.